really excited that shortly we're going to be telling you about our website and our film that is on the website. It's great to have Carl with us and Hannah as well, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a little bit and how we got to that point. But we thought in a short space of time it would be just really good, say in brief, because we're aware of the dynamics of this morning, everyone in, just share a little bit about the story so far, so you know, like Jane said, how we got to where we did today without suddenly pulling something out of the hat and saying we fancy change.
It's really interesting that, we're doing a bit of a tag team thing here this morning. Husbands and wives at their best, isn't that right, dear?
It is.
It is. The tap on the shoulder, my turn. It's really interesting, isn't it? So often in the Bible we see a rehearsal of what's happened in the life of God's people. And it's not just because they were bored and didn't know what to talk about. It's because it's really important for us to remember the significant things that God has done. Because actually in that, we then have the faith for the stuff that he's going to do.
So, as I say, some of you would have heard a lot of this story before, so we don't bore you with that, but just to say the context. So Jane and me, it started really about 2008, and Jane and me joined Christian Growth Centre Billericay. It's called Skylight Church in Chelmsford, actually. So used to saying that. We were part of that, and it was a good time there. And they have life groups there. They're home groups, but they call them life groups there. And We didn't actually belong to one, but one particular Sunday in July, God woke me up really early. I was wide awake, and I didn't know why. So I went downstairs to pray. I was praying in the Spirit for about an hour. I had not a clue. I was a little bit tired and thinking, you know, the coffee wasn't particularly working. Then after an hour, God said to me, I want you to start a life group in Billericay. And I needed Jane to own it, let's put it like that. I needed Jane to own this because it wasn't enough for me to do that. So I actually asked God, I said, you've got to tell Jane that this morning as well. I'm not going to say that. Long story short, that morning as we went to church, God spoke to Jane in two or three ways. Got into the car, Jane says, I've got something to tell you. I said, I know we're starting a life group. She says, how do you know that? She said, God spoke to me. We knew that day God was starting something significant. We knew actually in our heart of hearts it was something bigger. We weren't sure how we would travel with that in that respect. So we started a life group, a home group in our home, obviously, in the autumn of 2009. And some of you here might have been part of that. It was great. We had 15, 20 people. Lots of fun and food and other stuff as well. It was a good season in our life. And part of that led to us then in CGC Chelmsford overseeing life groups and being responsible for them as well.
Fast forward to September 2011, and we're on our way back from Horsham, dropping off our daughter at Bible College. She was the last to fly the nest, so we're driving back. A few sniffles and tears from Andy, and loads from me. And I said to Andy, we are not doing empty nest syndrome, are we? And he went, no, of course we're not. And I said, I think it would be really good, because it's a spiritual kind of thing that you do, that we spend some time praying and fasting, just saying, okay, God, what's this next season of our life look like? And I have to say, all I imagined was God might say for us to do an extra little bit in church, or, you know, take up a dance class or something, you know, just, you know.
That was obviously a prophetic statement Jane is trying to release there.
So we gave God a week, and on the Wednesday, Andy was working for a Christian Growth Centre in Chelmsford, one day a week at that point. And on that Wednesday, the senior pastor, Paul Gutteridge, some of you may know him here, called Andy into the office and said, I need to talk to you about something. And as a leadership, the church had been sensing for a while that Billericay was a place that they wanted to plant a new church. We knew nothing about this. And earlier in the week before, they'd had a letter from somebody in Billericay, kind of, it doesn't matter, it wasn't anybody that the church knew or whatever. And in that letter, one of the things that they were saying is, when are you going to plant a church in Billericay? And they felt as a leadership, it was like a green light. Okay, go, go, go. Now is the time to go. And as they prayed about it, they sensed that Andy and I were the people to head that up. And this was the conversation that Andy had with Paul. So Andy came home that night. This was the Wednesday. We'd started on the Monday. We were 2 days in. And he said, got something to tell you. And I went, oh, what's that? He said, Paul thinks we should be planting a church in Billericay. And I was like, where did that come from? So our week turned into 3 weeks because we thought, actually, this is really serious stuff. We really, really need to hear from God because there is no way that we are doing this on our own. During the course of that 3 weeks, we spent a lot of time praying. We would come up the high street a couple of nights a week and just prayer walk the high street and got such a sense from God that as a church, we would be known by what we do in the community and not by our building. Not that a building isn't important. And after this morning, I think our worship team and our audio visual guys up there are going to praying for a building far harder than I am going to be. It's been a bit of a morning for them. And we really sensed a really strong community thing. And one night, Andy prayed really specifically about something. I won't go into any more detail than that. That we would know, have a recognition of what we were doing. And the next day, Andy got an email from one of the senior church leaders in this town inviting us to join the other leaders of the churches to discuss something called street pastors. Now, at that point, we were simply a life group. So Andy replied and said, I don't know if you've copied me in on this wrongly because we're not a church, we're just a life group. And he said, no, that was intentional. I want you to be there. And it was almost as if God was calling us forth as a church before we'd actually become a church, if that makes sense. So we knew, actually, that the town was recognizing us as a church before we'd actually said that we were a church.
So there obviously had to be a transition time from life group to church, and recognising not everyone in the life group was going to be part of what was CGC Billericay. It seems funny saying that now, doesn't it, now with Revival Church Billericay. So we had a buffer time, really, for that. And then we started meeting, we hired out Costa in the high street on Sunday evenings after it closed for a couple of hours for 6 months. Really is a chance for people to see whether they're going to travel with us, for new people to find out what we're doing, the vision, to build a team. It was great. People used to come off the street still and wonder what we're doing. We had some great conversations, even got to pray for the staff. But the main thing was we were building the church and establishing the church over that period of time. If you're around, we launched CGC Billericay in St Mary's in the High Street on the 10th of November 2012. The good and the great, and everyone was there. It was a great time celebrating what God was doing. But we actually started meeting the week after, and our venue was the function room of the Rising Sun. It's now boarded up, but it's the place with the corrugated roof on. Obviously strongly smelt of beer because there was a bar at the other end. But it was great to do church. There's 20 or 30 people probably there doing church in the heart of the community. And we met there for about 15 months. And as I say, it was quite basic, quite drafty. But it was a good time to get the feel of what it is to be church in the community.
So how did we get to Billericay School? Well, about the March time after we'd launched, Andy had a really strong sense that he needed to start praying in the next venue. We were only about 25 people, 30 people on a good Sunday then. And God really laid on his heart about Billericay School. And we just started praying about that, just the two of us. Nobody else knew anything. And then we were at a event where some of the other church leaders were at, and one of them turned around to say and said to us, by the way, I don't know if you're thinking of any other venues at any other time, but don't even consider Billericay School, because there's been a religious group meeting in there previously and they have closed their doors to any kind of religious groups. And you know when you get your bit between your teeth and you just think, God said yes, so it's a yes. So we prayed And we prayed and we prayed. And we then shared it with some other people to start praying as well. And to say the door opened for us, it was like one of those doors. You know, when you step up to it, it then opens. You haven't even got to push it. It was amazing. We found such favour just through a set of circumstances with the school. And we came to have a look at the sixth form common room. It was the venue they suggested to us. And we went and we had a look around it. Well, compared to the rising sun, was it luxury? It was amazing. It was nice and warm. It was great. And Andy and I came to look around first. It was the sixth form common room, not here. And as we were looking around, the guy that was showing us around just said, oh, and obviously when you get too big, you can meet in the school hall. And we were like, what? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. God was opening doors for us. And interestingly, Jane, can you come and share your picture? The second time we went to have a look at Bitteriki School, we took Alan and Jen and Jane, and Pam came with us as well, just to kind of, we just wanted to kind of sound it with them and to really sense what we were sensing, to make sure we were doing the right thing. And then Jane shared this.
Well, I actually shared it with you a long time before that, and it was because the way this happened was that I was at Faith Camp one year. It was in 2005, and I was working for Schools Ministry Bitteriki, and God felled me to my knees with this picture. And I'll tell you the picture in a minute, but I just thought it was relevant to Schools Ministry, because it was from here. I was standing out on the path looking towards this way, and all of a sudden there was this enormous great big jet of water, big huge jet of water that shot up out of the ground sort of behind this building, and as it crowned and started to it crowned and then was coming down towards the playground out there, and as it hit the floor, all the water turned into people, and they were all running past me towards the high street. And I knew in this picture that all these people were saved, and they were just running towards the main part of the town with the good news, you know. But of course, I thought this was to do with Schools Ministry, so I thought Bitteriki School's really, really relevant, and you know, it's going to be like the kids are going to suddenly all want to know the Lord. But it was in the early part of when Jane and Andy felt that God was calling them to start a church, and they prayed about it, and we were talking about it in their front room, and Andy was explaining to a few of us that he felt God was saying that Bitteriki, this church would be, CGC Bitteriki would be like an artesian well. And I went, what's an artesian well? And he said, it's a huge great jet of water that spontaneously shoots up out of the ground. And I went, oh, that's like my picture I had. And he said, what picture? And I said, oh, haven't I told you about that picture? So, and where the sort of jet of water actually was, when we came up to view the sixth form common room block, that was where the water came from. It was the sixth form common room block in my picture. And it floored me. But at the time in 2005 that I had this picture, the sixth form common room block wasn't built. So, you know, it was like we thought that was a bit significant.
Praise God. So we're just going to speed on a little bit, really. Just so the rebrand. Why the change of name? Change of names are really useful to help it articulate really something and help convey what something means. And about a year ago, I'd been looking at our logo, wanting to have it redesigned. The more I looked at it and the more I worked with the designer, the more I realised actually that no one had a clue, unless they'd travelled with us, what CGC meant. So we then started a journey of thinking, what does it look like to change this precious name which we'd all got used to, and which was part of us almost? I had a conversation with Bev Murrell, who's one of the apostolic founders, in the summer, and said about that, about redesigning the logo. She said, well, why don't you rename yourself as well, which we had thought of, but you felt it might be a little bit disloyal to her, considering she came up with the idea of Christian Growth Centre originally. it was very releasing. So we then started the journey. I started the journey of really asking God, well, what are we going to be calling this? I'm a word person. But actually, it's really difficult when you think of it to come up with a brand, a name for something, because everything sounds like an in-house magazine or a NAF TV program. You're thinking, you know, you go through all the words of artesian wells and rivers and things like that. But, you know, you can't call yourself Artesian Well Church. You know, you can't. I mean, they don't sound right. So there's a lot of wrestling with lots of things in my head. We were coming back from Sarah, daughter's graduation this summer, and I've been praying the Spirit. And just at that moment, the Holy Spirit dropped into my spirit the end result of that processing. And it was simply, I hadn't thought this before, Revival Church. I thought, that's it. Why didn't I think of it? Well, the reason is I'm not God and he's God. But immediately I felt excited by that. I knew that that would sum up really God's mandate for us as a church. And so that in a nutshell is how we came to the name. I think you want to.
Some of you might remember when Amanda Wells was here in November, and she talked about the significance of the number 40. 40, it's a period of preparation for birth. It's the end of conception and the beginning of vision. That's the significance of 40. We are now 40 months since we launched in November 2012. It's amazing the significance of what we're doing today. And the Hebrew word for 40 is Mayim, which talks about water. It talks about fountains of wisdom. There's a significance of actually the whole 40 thing of underground resources actually flowing up into the air. It's amazing when you start to look into it. 40 is really significant. And we knew, actually, as Amanda was speaking, that the fact that actually we were going to be rebranding, renaming, relaunching 40 months after we'd started as CGC Bariki wasn't just because we thought, oh, it's a good idea to do it then. This was God's timing. And talking about name changes, throughout the Bible, God has changed people's names. And when we first knew that God was asking us to do that, God reminded me about Abraham. Now, Abraham had been called Abraham. And him and his wife were barren. They had no children. And God said to him, you will be a father of many nations, and I am changing your name to Abraham, which meant the father of many nations. So every time his name was spoken, this guy who was 99, who had no kids, people were saying to him, you're the father of many nations. Absurd. But actually, what happened? He became the father of many nations. We are being named Revival Church Bariki because God has got plans and purposes for this church to bring revival, to revive, to bring life where there's death. That is the significance of our name change.
And I think the things I was going to share this morning, I'm going to hold. I'm going to send out maybe an update email. And if you aren't on our email database through our new website or give us email address, I'd encourage you to do that because there's some things that I want to share with you. I think I'll put on hold now, but I will send out. But our website, it's gone live today. And it's one way of really communicating really the heart of what we do. We really believe that actually, unless you're able to communicate what you do well, actually you're not effective. We're really excited that we have a wonderful team of people. I'm just going to do this bit now, switch around a little bit. We've had a brilliant designer, Simon Pether. We've got Louise, got Pete Turner, got Carl there, who I'll introduce again in a minute, Greg, Vicky Woodford, who's in Paris at the moment. She took the photos. Have I missed anyone? Wonderful team who've put a brilliant website together because we believe the life here, like that artesian well, God wants to express and convey into community. So, we have a film on our website that Carl has done a great job. Carl runs his own production company and he's got a real heart for community. And We asked Carl, and he's gifted us his time and his expertise in producing a film that, whilst it was tempting to project manage and say this is what we want, as a creative person, we gave Carl license to really reflect back to us as a creative person himself. How is that right, really? How you saw the church as a tool, really, on the website and elsewhere, to say this is where we're at now, this is what God's doing, and then to express that to the future. So that's a prelude. It'd be really good to show the film now. I'm going to kill the lights, and it's 6 minutes, so get your popcorn ready. Was working perfectly earlier, so... Can we hold that one? Can we do? Is there a problem that's resolvable to do it at the end? Sorry? You let you know.
Yeah, it worked earlier, but we're not quite sure why it stopped now. We'll give it a go. We'll work up here.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. It is on the wonderful new website, but we want to show it this morning because it's really important to us. I'll put the lights on as well, because you can't see I'm here, can you? Well, you can really, but... God, dear, man of many talents, isn't it? Lights. It'd be good to, while they're doing that, to give thanks to God. We've asked Jane, Jen and Alan as our key leaders just to give thanks to God, really, if you come up, guys, for all he's done in the life of the church. And then... hopefully we might have the film back to see.
Okay, prayers. Got me? Right, it's not just this, the film that's gone off piece today, I'll go off piece as well. I'm going to do the prayers for Bitteriki now, and which is revival, you know, our revival church. As you've seen on your seats, there's a little bookmark, and I'm just going to pray off the back of that. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that you help us to live hope-filled, thankful lives. I pray, Lord, you help us acknowledge that you are a good God. And I pray you just help us to come along and encounter your presence. Just like we've got a SIM card that's just been stuck in our phone and we're just waiting for that signal from God to come along and just activate it. And I pray, Lord, you just activate some of our SIM cards now, if you take that strange analogy that I've just given you. I've got a picture as well. I don't know if anybody wants to pray into a picture. And... anybody want to pray into a picture? 2, 3, 4. Okay. The picture is a load of glasses on a table. And they're partly full. And some people are loaded around them and saying, are they half empty or are they half full? And the glasses represent the congregation here. And we need to pray that each of us gets filled up. So whether we're part full, almost full, needing topping up, or half empty, however we're feeling, we're just going to pray, God, that you top us up, you fill us up, you help each member of this congregation to be full of what you desire for us. We pray that for this congregation, in Jesus' name. And all the good people said, go for it.
Father God, I just want to thank you for making us your living stones. That's it, really.
Father God, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you for what you are doing in us and through us as a family here that you have planted in this town. Lord, I thank you that you are a good God and you are always in a good mood. I thank you, Lord, that You have great plans for each one of us. I thank you, Lord, that you can do so much more than we can ever begin to hope or imagine or even ask you. So, Lord, we ask you to expand our vision to match yours, because you have great plans for this town and you want us to be your instruments to take your love into the lives and into the community of this place that you have put us in. So we thank you for all that you are doing, because nothing is impossible for you. Amen.
Brilliant, thank you. Okay, 10 minutes. Okay, brilliant. I'll keep talking then, you got me for 10. No. You would have had these bookmarks on your chairs as you came in, and on the reverse of those are our new core values. For those of you who are part of the family here, we're going to be teaching on these over the coming weeks. But these are the things that God's really laid on our heart as to what's key for us to generate that revival culture that we're talking about. So more about that in the future. Yeah.
Use up a bit more time. This is something that Linda's just found in the car, that I felt when Andy and Jane said about us praying, that it was something important to share. And this is something that we get the kids to say. And I want to read it out, actually, and let it be a prayer for all of you to say this in your hearts, actually, not just for the kids, but for all of you to say this in your hearts. I am powerful, and what I believe changes the world. So, today, I declare God is in a good mood. He loves me all the time. Nothing can separate me from his love. Jesus' blood paid for everything. I will tell nations of what he has done. I am important. How he made me is amazing. I was designed for worship. My mouth establishes praise to silence the enemy. Everywhere I go becomes a health zone. And with God, nothing is impossible.
Amazing. What we are going to do now is we're going to celebrate together what God has done. We've got some goodies at the back. So we're going to head into that time now. And then when the guys have got the film sorted, we can then watch that while we're having our cake and Bucks Fizz or whatever else you would like.
And just a reminder to say, do you want to bang on about it? I do want to bang on it. We've got a new website, revivalchurchbillericay.com. You need to check it out. It's brilliant, isn't it, Louise? It's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, share it with people. But access it and use it as a great tool to communicate what God's doing in the life of the church. Yeah, it's got it. Phil's got it. Good photos as well.
So if you want to form an orderly queue and have a look at what the kids have done as well, actually, if we can just have the pens picked up at the back, that would be great, because we don't want any hazards for people to fall over before they've had their Bucks Fizz anyway. So enjoy, and we will see the film shortly.